I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Oh, indeed. Just so you know, I've decided to postpone my Easter message for 2 weeks because I got to tell you, when the old mosaic there of Jesus was replaced this week with the new one, I guess I wasn't prepared. I was overcome by it. And when I sat down to write up the little five-minute presentation for this morning, because we're going to reveal it, I couldn't stop writing. It just wouldn't stop till it filled every page, all the space. And I went, oh, this is, you know what? This is the Easter message. This, because there is a funny, inspiring, behind-the-scenes story that you've never heard about that picture. And I got to tell you, because, and it says on the transcript there 12 years ago. I'm wrong. It's 14. I get it right later on, but I hit the wrong key. 14 years ago, we created that Jesus mosaic right there with primitive technology, a brand new invention called digital photography, and 4,000 photos. Something you probably have not noticed because you have to stand on a chair to see it. There's a little brass plaque on the bottom of the frame. And it says, be part of the big picture at His Place. That picture, as I sat and thought back this week, that picture has become such a symbolic analogy of our calling here at His Place. But it began as just a fundraiser for the down payment of this property. You know, they do like a thermometer, so you see how much you raised. We got this idea, hey, let's do a picture. We'll cut it up into squares. We'll do 4,000 little squares, and we'll fill those in as funds come in. That's how it started. But I made the mistake, because now you got to realize, I'm picturing, you know, a picture. We'll take a picture of something about this big. I made the mistake of asking Kenny Bean to design the frame before I had any idea what kind of picture we would put in it. And I saw that frame, ho. So we started brainstorming, what could you put in that frame, that gorgeous frame, and coming up blank. We tried, here's my big idea, 14 years ago, this is my idea, take a picture of the kid standing in front of the ark with a sold sign. This was, there we go. And I thought, that's a great idea, till I saw that frame. It's like, oh, and everybody's wondering, what's going to go in that? Ken had it built and set up right back there. That's right in the back of the church there, several weeks before we started, and raised everybody's expectations for this mystery photo that was going to fill in this incredible frame. And I was in a panic, because I had no idea whatsoever what to put in that thing. Nobody did. We're talking amongst the staff. No idea. So I just kept telling everybody, the congregation, that they would have to wait and see because it was a secret. Which it was, especially from me. But that only built up everyone's expectations even more. And people began trying to guess what incredible image was to come. And I was listening to those guesses, and there was no idea that kind of matched the look of that frame. And I was praying so hard. I felt trapped, one of those moments, you know. And I was praying. I was at the end of myself. And that's where the Lord loves to meet us, by the way. So I came to the end of myself. I didn't have a hint of an idea until just 2 weeks before we had to apply the first squares. It's so funny. I went home, and my son and his friend Chris were in the living room. That's Chris on the left, and that's my son in the bikini top. That's Chris on the left. Look at that face. That's Chris. And as I walked through the living room, Chris asked if I would tell them the secret of what the picture was going to be. And I said, no, I didn't want to spoil the surprise. And then as I walk up the stairs, Chris says, well, I only asked because I think I know what you're going to do. And I stopped in my tracks. You know, any idea, just give me any idea. So I asked what he thought it was going to be. And he said, I'll wait until afterwards and then tell you if I was right. And I said, no, tell me now, because tell me now. I said, if you are right, I might not believe you. And Chris said, and this will forever just be imprinted on my heart, because Chris says, I think you're going to take like all the pictures of the people of his place and make a big mosaic of Jesus that when you stand back, you can see him, but then it's individually, it's all of us that make up like his body. Now, there are few moments in life that are perfect, but that was one of them. I said, well, just have to wait and see. But inside, the bells and whistles, the fireworks were going off. Oh, talk about an answer to prayer. I was skipping up those steps. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, afterward, when Chris says, hey, I was right, I said, Chris, not only were you right, it was your idea. Well, I immediately called Ken Ackley. We've got 2 weeks, and he'd had to find a program. Now, this is before they're making digital anythings, let alone mosaics. And he found one. And it seems like it was in a foreign language because it was created overseas, and he didn't have an instruction manual. He's trying to figure. He had to build a computer that would do a photo file that size because they didn't sell them. He's trying to build a computer out here in the sanctuary, which he did. And then we discovered no one could print a picture that big. And so we're calling all over the place, nowhere, Seattle, don't matter, no. And then we find out that there's a blueprint shop in Mount Vernon that had just installed this brand new, huge, only one on this side of the state printer that could handle it. And so we've got a scanner, because we didn't have digital pictures, we start scanning in 12,000 photos, and then Kinectly creates this mosaic that takes like 24 hours to render. And it was a two-week breakneck sprint that we finished the night before the first batch of photos went up. That's Ken Bean, early Sunday morning, putting the first photos on. I mean, I got the strips delivered to him because they just finished printing them because it took hours and hours to print. And oh, my goodness. So the next day, people came in that back door and saw it, and they said, cool. It's a big montage of his place photo, big family photo album. Oh, okay. However, the following Sunday, when quite a few more photos, several hundred, but we're filling in the ambiguous places so they, you know, keep them guessing. But the next Sunday, everyone that walked in those doors had the same reaction. It's making something. It's making something. And, oh. We filled in all the ambiguous parts until we hit the big reveal, which we had on Easter, 14 years ago. Easter 2005. This was the thing we were going to make and throw away. We had no idea this would turn into this iconic keepsake, symbolic representation of our church's mission. But totally coincidentally, we had the perfect wall space for the frame. It was like the Lord planned it that way the whole time. So it was like a barn raising, putting that thing up on the wall. And that's the story where that mosaic came from. Now it's 14 years later. 14 years later, and technology has much improved. It's taken us, been about a year and a half now, team of people. We have sifted through 105,000 photos spanning all 36 years of his place history to end up with 23,000 usable, good quality photos for this new program. But then they all had to be cropped into squares and shifted. And I told Kinectly last night, I said, do you realize on Tuesday morning we never have to think about that thing again? Ken found an improved program that broke it into 9,000 squares, more than double. And then the program then creates this equation for each square to find its closest match in our stack of 23,000. 14 years ago, we had an identical copy of the original cut up into an old photo album, and that's what that is. We pasted it back together to make a veil because we're going to lower it, and we want you to be able to compare the old one with the new one. So are you ready? Well, first, what? You know how John says in the gospel, he must increase, but I must decrease. Well, that's what we've done with the photos. We've decreased the size from 1.5 inches, the pictures of us, to 1 inch. Amazing what that difference makes. The smaller we get, the greater Jesus becomes in the clarity and the focus. Plus, we just gave we gave the program a lot more to work with. You see, we all assume that we see Jesus clearly. There he is. We see Jesus quite clearly, thank you. Until, that is, we decrease and we give him more to work with. And we see more clearly. It's all about him. And when we do that, you don't want to go back to the old that served you well, served us well here for a long time. In this life, we often don't even know what we're missing. But here you go. Renee, go ahead, lower that. That's Renee and Kevin. Renee does a lot around this church, and he's done a lot of work on this as well. V.A. Renee. Okay, here we go. Now, yeah. I just stood here staring at that. Look at the old one. Look how much worse the old one looks now. Because you see, the more Jesus becomes the focus of your life, the more clear you can see him. You don't want to go back to the old. Look at that. That's so cool. So cool. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, the less we can tell that it's me and you, the more we can tell that it's him. Because when he's in me, I'm in him. And until then, I'm a pixel without a place, trying to make my own thing, which will amount to nothing. Because apart from him, we are robbed of meaning and purpose and definition, and we lose our focus. We can't know what clarity is until we have eyes to see, and we can't have eyes to see until we focus on Christ, first and foremost, and increasingly. I just love looking at that and seeing the difference between the old and the new. I love that old one, but I don't anymore. I love the new one because it's clearer. And I love his expression. Look at the eyes. Look how you can see the whites of the eyes. Look at that expression on his face. If you stop and stare, let your mind meditate. The analogies just begin to tumble out of those 9,000 little photos that make up that one picture of the body of Christ. When I lock eyes, it's just a symbol of Jesus, of course, but when I lock eyes with this symbol of Jesus, it speaks to me because that expression, those eyes, they remind me that he was not a victim of the cross. Always in control. He was a conqueror. That cross served him. Hebrews says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus conquered the cross. He was not a victim of the cross. It's like how a woman giving birth is not a victim. She's a conqueror. She conquers that pain for the incredible joy of new life to come. And he conquered the law and swallowed up sin, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. It's the law of Moses, which was hostile to us. Now listen carefully. And he, Jesus, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him from the cross. And that expression reminds me of that truth. He was not a victim. He was a conqueror. And then, after becoming our great high priest and going up there on purpose to offer himself as the perfect lamb, then he conquered the grave and rose again, and he vacated that tomb in order to inhabit you and me, which means he isn't quite finished conquering yet, is he? No, because now he must conquer your heart. And those eyes, I'll tell you what those eyes say to me. They say, I'm coming for you. And that makes me a little nervous. I'm not sure how to take that. But you see, his love is not a non-threatening love. His love is a perfect love. Powerful, determined, uncompromising. Scary. Scary, his love. How real it is, how deep and strong. To see it for real, to see it brings fear. That's the beginning of wisdom. But to know it, to grow into it, drives out all fear. Now, we made two new mosaics. One is out in the lobby. We hung another mosaic in which we've decreased the photos even smaller to 3/4 inches each, for a total of 16,000 pictures out in the lobby. It's lit up and visible from the road at night in the darkness. We took this picture last night. How cool is that? That's the view. That's the view from Pease Road driving by at night now. Oh, mama. And unlike this one, the one in the lobby out there, you can go right up to it. You can try to find yourself in Christ. Try to find someone you know, like a real life Where's Waldo in somewhere in Jesus. So hear this. The big picture at his place is Christ crucified for our sin and risen again for our faith and hope and trust to show us the way, the truth, and the life as he leads us home. Because this ain't it. So you may not feel like your little square looks much like Christ in all his glory. It's Terry just laundered. Yeah, you may not feel like your little square looks much like Christ in all his glory. Well, Waldo, you shouldn't. It doesn't. It's not meant to. It's together, together, his body, his children, united in the mosaic grace of Jesus, who overcame the mosaic law that brought death. Together, we reveal and confess and declare him fulfilling each of our uniquely created purposes in our little corner, our little square of his kingdom. So that as this world passes by, even as it passes away, our friends and our family and our neighbors can catch a glimpse of our Savior as our witness together, for real, shines a light in the darkness. We fix our eyes on Christ as author and finisher so that he can fix our eyes on God as Father and creator, so that we can continue to decrease as he continues to increase, becoming clearer and clearer as we mature in his word, growing smaller and smaller and smaller until we are swallowed up in his love and mercy and kindness, covered completely by his blood, poured out for us by the Lamb who is enthroned as King, who was slain and overcame the grave itself. The bread of life sent to us, whose body was broken for us and whose word is bound within us, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, who leads us down here by his Spirit through his word, which is the fountain of life. It is the river of life, clear as crystal, that flows from his throne to his own and began on the cross just after he died, when that spear pierced his side and both water and blood began to flow to give birth to the church, his people, his kids, his children, so we can grow in his image and overcome this world to become his living body, his hands, his feet, his arms, embracing one another and reaching out to this dark world, a light shining on a hill, each from our own unique little corner of his kingdom, wherein he must first rule and reign in our heart. That's both the big picture at his place and the tiny little pictures at his place. It's a call to all to come and see and become a part of the big picture, the body of Christ, who lived and died and lives forever for all who will come and die to self to live in him. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Jesus Christ, the face of the glory of God. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, happy Easter. Focus too close on the chaos of this world and you'll miss the big picture. So step back, get a better perspective, take a breath, take some time, and then you will see what has been staring you in the face the whole time. Which, by the way, is exactly how his word works in your heart. It's making something. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and appreciate you and worship you as our loving and merciful and fearfully awesome creator, Father. Holy Spirit, inspire and empower us to grow smaller and smaller as you increase within us as we give you more and more to work with. Lord Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, our conqueror of all, author, finisher of our faith, come and rule and reign in our heart. And everybody said, amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.